Yeah, thank you. And it's a Mr. Fizz Friday. Gardening guru Jim Fizzell is on the line. And, you know, I was looking at the calendar today, Jim, and it's National Tattoo Day. Do you have any tattoos you want to tell our listeners about?
No, I never went to that. I'm too old for that stuff now.
Well, it's also National Peach Ice Cream Day, so you can celebrate that. But you want to talk about garden sex.
Yep.
After, I thank the all-new Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today. Here's an idea. Buzz on over to a Chicagoland or Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer and test drive the all-new Silverado and be sure and toot the horn. Chevy drives Chicago. Okay, Mr. Fizz, it's time to talk about the birds and the bees.
Well, you know, we're starting to get flowers on all the plantings out in the garden, especially the vegetable plants that we have out there. And with the hot weather that we have right here, that becomes kind of a problem because almost all of these require pollination in order to get the fruit or the vegetables that you want off of them. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that. Actually, pollinating requires something to move the pollen from the stamens to the pistil on the plant. It can be the wind, which moves the pollen for peppers and grasses and grains and corn. Or they can be self-pollinated, where the pistil grows out through the stamens and actually picks up some of the pollen. Beans, soybeans, and so forth do that. And there are a lot of things that take insects or some other creature to pollinate them. Squash and pumpkins, cukes. Especially anything that has a separate male and female flowers, which all the vine crops have. And, of course, all the tree fruits, small fruits, nuts, and so forth. Now, there are various things that do pollination, and insects are what we rely on almost entirely here other than the wind. And there are many kinds, bees and wasps and flies and beetles and so forth, with bees being the most common. Now, we rely on honeybees. In fact, there are many industries around the country that just rely on honeybees to pollinate their crop for them. But, you know, we've lost them around here, and there's still very, very few. We haven't seen any in our garden, and we have pollinator plants that are growing out there. Now, they were killed off by the varroa and tracheal mites and some viruses, and we've had a thing called colony collapse that damaged a lot of them. I know they're trying to come back. A lot of the people that raise bees are having trouble maintaining their hives. So there are not a lot of them. There are a few out in the clover in the lawn, and that's where we've seen them. They're fuzzy gold and yellow with brown or black spots. And, you know, they're not aggressive. They'll sting you if you pick them up. But we also have other things. We have big bumblebees. Those are the big black and yellow bees that spend their night on the plants. If you go out in the morning, they're still sleeping in the flowers. Now, they don't make hives. They raise their young in burrows, in holes in the ground. Now, they're aggressive if you disturb the burrow. Otherwise, you can walk up to them. They don't bother you. Orchard bees are smaller than bumblebees. They're shiny blue, don't make hives. They also live in holes and trees and posts and so forth. They're not aggressive, but that's what we're relying on this year. We have a lot of them around here, and I'm not just sure why, but they're the ones that are doing the major amount of the pollen lifting for us. And we have some small sweat bees. These are about a quarter of an inch or so, and they like salt from sweat, so they'll sit on you and lap that up. But if you trap them, they'll sting you, little stings, but nonetheless they sting. And then there are carpenter bees, which are great big intimidating bees, and we don't see many around here. They're very damaging to wood. They feed on the pollen and the nectar in the plant, and in doing so, they rub the pollen off of the stamens, and they deposit on the pistils of the flowers. Many kinds of flowers are adapted just specifically for an insect, even a specific insect, to get into that flower, rub the pollen off, and hit the pistil as they're getting back out again. Many of the orchids, if you look at them, when a bee goes in that thing, there's a part of the orchid that drops down from the top onto their back. When they go out, they take the pollen with them. So it's a very interesting thing to study how some of these flowers work. And, of course, pollination doesn't require any thinking or anything on the part of the insect. It's a passive process. It happens as a part of the gathering pollen and the nectar. It's important to attract bees, and you can grow plants that have plenty of pollen and nectar on them. Not necessarily ones that you're going to get fruit or vegetables off of, but things like bee balm or butterfly bush, Japanese tree lilacs. They are wonderful for attracting bees. Many of the other native plants that we have around here, you can also set up bee houses. For bees that are looking for a place to live, like I mentioned, the orchard bees. And it's important that we can get along with bees too. They'll sting, but they're usually not aggressive. So when you go out in the garden, if you have bees out there, you want to be sure that you're not wearing some kind of a perfume or a bright flowered clothes that make them think you're a flower. And certainly don't try to pick them up, because they will sting you if you attack them. And if one lands on you, don't panic. Just brush it off, and you don't need to kill them because they're beneficial creatures. Also, try to avoid putting pesticides on during the daytime when the bees are flying. And they usually go to bed at night as the sun sets, so you can do your spraying at about sunset and not have to worry about hitting them. Now, we have another creature that's out there, the wasps and yellow jackets. They're not bees. They're slender, black, and yellow, and they you need to know the difference. They can pollinate, but they can be extremely aggressive. In fact, they'll swarm on you and really give you a lot of stings, and they can sting over and over again. They like the same kind of things we enjoy for food, like sugary drinks that they live on and meat and hamburgers that they collect for their young. If you're picnicking, set out your food just before you eat and put covers over your pop can so they don't get inside, because if you take a swig of pop and get a yellow jacket with it, it's really unpleasant. Keep your trash cans as far away from the picnic area as you can, and put the food away as soon as you get done eating. If you get stung by one of them, a little bit of ice on that slot. If you've been stung and had a reaction of some kind, make sure that you go to your doctor and get a bee sting kit with epinephrine in it. And if you do get stung, be sure to use that, because you can swell up pretty quickly if you're allergic to them. Now, you don't want to be afraid of bees. Enjoy them. They're good friends, and we really need them.
Mr. Fizz, gardening guru Jim Fizzell. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.